America Weekend.
In the old radio days, some announcer would put his hand to his ear and he would say, when last we left Life with Carl, we had this wonderful little situation in the household.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that, Carl?
Yes,
yeah,
I do.
Yeah. And as I understand it, you have some interesting thoughts on psychologists doing a thing called thin slicing. What is that?
I have heard of this before, and it went away. This is where, and this is a research study recently done at Princeton University, when you see someone within a millisecond, you've already made a determination about them.
Oh, I did that with you.
Yes, I know.
First time I saw you.
And it was get out.
No, it was not. It was not. We met through an interesting, you know what that, you hear that sound?
That's, yes, I do. Is that your phone?
No, it's my phone. I forgot to turn the phone off.
Well, let me turn mine off while you turn your.
I'm turning it off right now.
There we go.
You know, those things happen all over the United States, you know, in meetings, in churches,
yes,
in synagogues. It's crazy. You can hear it every so often, and people are so embarrassed.
Where is it coming from? I actually saw a man take it, slide it down the aisle in church. He literally slid it right down there to the back. I'm not kidding you.
Come
to the
on.
Back of the church. He just went zing down and flying down the aisle. He got a laugh from the priest. But this particular study. I found fascinating because we all do it. We all do it. And this is particularly targeted to a younger audience. There were 1,000 people in the study of how they immediately judged you as an example, if you're trustworthy, okay? If you're what they call high status in terms of your dress, your comportment, if you're straight or gay, that's immediately people pick that right up. At least they think they do. If you're smart, okay? If you're promiscuous, how do you like that?
You can pick that up in 10 seconds?
I couldn't, but they apparently in this study, 82% said they could figure it right on out. If you're dominant or if you're not, if you're currently successful or not, if you're on your way to a promotion or on your way to something big or something's going on, and the last one is if you're adventuresome. I thought that was fascinating. And what they said in this particular study, again called thin slicing, was that you gain a certain image about someone, whether it's right or wrong, and it's very hard to break once you've formed that opinion, whether it's right or wrong, okay? But people tend to do that. I've often said to my candidates who have come to me over the years, and I, as you know, I've spent a lot of time in the Fortune 500 world, I when you come in and you're coming from the doorway to my desk and you're out ready to shake my hand, I've already made a certain mental image of you, what you look like, how you shake my hand, et cetera, and so forth. Then I begin the process. What I've learned not to do, and this is what experience, is not to prejudge. Because frankly, half the time, I was wrong.
So you're suggesting, okay, half the time you were wrong.
I was wrong.
You're suggesting that half the time of anybody that has this millisecond ascertainment,
yes,
of what you are or are not.
Or are not.
Is wrong.
And it's changed over the course of years. And that's my personal experience. But I think they're on the right track here. What it's trying to do is get people to understand not to form impressions so very quickly, though we do it mentally anyway. Try to judge that opinion. Try to step back and take a breath and realize that the opinion you may have automatically gotten very quickly in this millisecond, okay? It's the way someone's dressed, if someone's having a bad hair day, whatever it may be. I remember going into an interview once, I stuck out my hand, and this is at ABC television. I missed a person's hand, tripped over the rug, and fell on the floor.
Oh, okay. Come on.
I did, on my knee, boom, right down. My hand was still out. I missed his hand. It was Bill Davis, okay? And we're friends to this day. But Bill said, that was the first time. I've never seen someone, I was so nervous, I missed his hand.
Was there a rim shot from the band?
I missed his hand completely. And to this day, we still laugh about it. But the point was, he didn't judge me immediately. He said, let's try. He said, do you want to try this entrance again? I did. Went to the door, tried it again, got it right. He was a mature, smart man who saw, and this goes back now, oh gosh, 40 years ago. I was just trying to make my way up along the list. I just graduated late from college, and I was trying to find my way in the broadcast business. And I was in front of a very nice man who saw how nervous I was at the time. And it worked. It worked. But he didn't judge. He could have.
No, I
understand
that.
This bumbling fool who just went on his knees.
A technique that I used to use when I would first go in for a job interview or something that was, you know, really important, whatever. I'd walk in and we'd be in, hey, how do you do? You know, shake hands, says, excuse me, but do I look okay? Is my tie straight? And I'd fumble with a tie.
That's good.
And, you know, what it does is it brings everybody to a comfortable level.
Yes.
Of conversation.
Correct.
Rather than interview.
But there's the interesting term. You just said it. Conversation. And what we lack today, and I've just gone through a series of interviews for a number of different reasons, of young people today, and these are smart young people.
Was this for parole or?
No. Actually, okay. It was for a job position, but they.
Wait a minute. You want a job interview someplace?
Not me.
Other than with me?
No, I'm always with you. It was for us, but these very bright young people, and bright, and they were nice, and but there's no sense of conversation. You want to get into a dialogue. You want to talk to them. You want to get a sense of them. And most of them, I must say, not all of them, but most of them have lost that sense of conversation.
I agree. I had a wonderful experience just the other day. I'm working on a project with a young producer on the essays of John Burroughs, the great naturalist.
Wonderful.
And a big proponent in his time, late 1800s, early 1900s, of the Catskill Mountains.
That's correct.
And this
is a savior of them in many ways.
In many ways,
yes.
I mean, well, he was a friend of Harvey Firestein and Henry Ford and Thomas Edison and Teddy Roosevelt. And they all kind of hung out together. They were called themselves the Vagabonds, and they traveled, you know, sometimes in camping. But Burroughs was truly one of the great naturalists in the ilk of John Muir.
Yes.
And others. But anyway, I had the privilege of reading one of his essays. But then prior to the essay, I interviewed a expert, a guy named Bill Burns, who a teacher, but an aficionado on the efficacy of John Burns, or John Burroughs.
Burroughs.
And what a delight. And we just started having a conversation. It was all taped. And this will be the prequel to the reading of the essay.
Right.
When it's done in about a month and a half, 2 months, I'll bring it in, and we'll be able to play some of it.
Please.
You know, it's too long for this program.
Right.
But there are some sections that I want you to hear, because in conversation, it was just delightful.
You know, it's a lost art, and I miss it terribly, because that's what we did in our home. It was once around the table, we used to call it. How was your day? A conversation, chit-chat. And always made even if it wasn't about anybody in the room, it was just chit-chatting, and it was wonderful.
You know, Carl, the early radio programs from, let's say, the 20s, 30s, 40s, I'm thinking of things like Arthur Godfrey.
Yeah, so wonderful.
I'm sure there are others that I just not
the early days of John Gambling
recalling to mind.
Yes.
Well, what was it? It was nothing other than a conversation.
And he was talking to us, and I always felt he was talking to me.
Yeah.
I always felt that with John.
Well, he was sharing life experiences.
Correct.
As even the stars did on some of these more nationally syndicated programs.
Correct.
Radio programs in those early days.
It was as if they had you in the room. They had this wonderful gift of being able to communicate across the airwaves with a sense of proportion. John A. Gambling, rest his soul, used to give, I'll never forget them, the morning reports for school closings. WOR first started mm-hmm. that. And he would read every single one. But he made you feel like he was talking to you when he got to your school. For us, it was a Lady of Pompeii. Bingo! We were there. And I was a child. That's how long they were on.
No, I understand. I mean, I was a morning radio disc jockey for a number of years.
That's
prior
correct.
To
yes.
Moving into television. And I remember reading the menu of the various schools in our district that we happened to cover, or in the what they call it, the ADI area of
yes.
dominant influence.
That's correct.
For a radio program. And having fun with the menu, you know, from Sloppy Joe's to, you know, you name it.
But do you remember your sign-on and sign-off on that radio station?
I do.
Yes, what is it? Just out of curiosity.
You mean the call letters?
Yes.
W-O-N-G.
W-O-N-G.
And then W-M-C-R.
And that's amazing. These things we never forget. We never forget. Interesting, by the way, again, to wrap this up, an interesting a bit of information reference, thin slicing, okay?
Okay.
You're going to hear more of this. I know you are. Because this is we're in a world that's been shrunk by the immediacy of the selfie and so on. This is where we're going, in my opinion. This is where we're going. Not necessarily a good thing, but where we're going.
Well, we can either be a victim of it or a participant in it. So let
we'll
it
see.
Be that.
Call Sabatino with Rollin Smith as we participate and we carry on here on Smith Sabatino, America Weekend, on the Envision Radio Network.
America.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-289-1668. That's 800-289-1668. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-289-1668.